So let's read from Luke chapter 9 and verse 57. As they were walking along the road, a man said to him, that is Jesus, "I will follow you wherever you go." Jesus replied, "Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." He said to another man, "Follow me." But the man replied, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Still another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family." Jesus replied, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God." We're going to end the reading of God's word there this morning. If you know the story of The Wizard of Oz, you will know that the main character, Dorothy, is making a journey along the yellow brick road to find the Wizard of Oz, whom she hopes will help her get back to her home in Kansas. Along the way, she meets three people, each of whom lack something, and they join her on her journey to see if the wizard can also give them what they lack. The Scarecrow lacks a brain, the Tin Man lacks a heart, and the Lion lacks courage. Well, in the passage that we read this morning, Jesus, we're told, is walking along the road. When he meets three people, and like the Scarecrow, the Tin Man, and the Lion, they all seem to be lacking something. The first lacks courage, the second commitment, and the third perseverance. And without these three things, we discover, they cannot be followers of Jesus. However, in contrast to Dorothy, who treats the Scarecrow, the Tin Man, and the Lion with kindness and compassion, well, the response of Jesus sounds quite harsh. He seems to, if anything, put them off, discouraging them, not the response of someone who actually wants followers. But Jesus is warning about the cost of discipleship, of what it will mean to follow Jesus. The path of following Jesus is no yellow brick road filled with singing and dancing, but a difficult path needing courage, commitment, and perseverance. And so Jesus spells that out before they set out. They become discouraged and they turn back. There's an advertisement that's attributed to Ernest Shackleton, who led three expeditions to the Antarctic, though I think it may be more folklore than fact. The advertisement read, "Men wanted for hazardous journey, small wages, bitter cold, long months of complete darkness, constant danger, safe return doubtful, honour and recognition in case of success." You see, the last thing Shackleton needed on his expedition were people who set out, become discouraged, and turn back. He needed men of courage, commitment, and perseverance. This was no journey for the fearful, the brainless, and the heartless. The call to follow Jesus is more of an Ernest Shackleton expedition than Dorothy Gale's dance along a yellow brick road. When the first man approaches Jesus, offering to follow Jesus wherever he goes, Jesus responds, "Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." Now, that was the reality for the first followers of Jesus. Jesus was an itinerant preacher, traveling through the towns and villages of Israel. This was no celebrity tour with stays in fancy hotels, where the rider was sent in advance with all of Jesus' demands before he would agree to come. No, the foxes and the birds were in a more secure and comfortable position than the followers of Jesus. They at least knew where they were going to lay their heads at night. But the call to follow Jesus is a call to a life of uncertainty. When we were kids, we used to play a game called Follow the Leader. Don't think you can get an app for that one yet. Follow the Leader. One person would be the leader and everyone else just followed behind, doing everything that the leader did. But you didn't know what the leader would do. And you didn't need to know what the leader would do. That was the fun of the game. It was a game of uncertainty. They led, and well, you followed. Now, I don't remember a single game of Follow the Leader that ever ended well. Because we all wanted to be the leader, and we didn't want to follow. It was okay at the beginning, but it got so tiresome, this following. I wanted to be the leader. I wanted to be in charge. I wanted to set the path for everybody else to follow. No life of uncertainty for me. But the call to follow Jesus is a call to follow Jesus wherever he wants us to go. Now, this man seemed to understand that. In fact, his offer to Jesus was, "I will follow you wherever you go." Now, that's just the kind of offer that Jesus wants. Wherever. But Jesus responds in a way that gives caution to this man. Have you really thought through what you have just offered? Do you realize what you are saying? Have you considered the extent of whatever? Recently, I had someone call to my house about an insurance policy I had that needed to be updated. They didn't have the form with them that they needed me to sign. So he handed me a blank sheet of paper and asked me to sign it. "We'll just fill in the instruction later," he said. "Don't worry," he said. But I did worry, signing my name on a blank sheet of paper. But that's what the call to follow Jesus involves. It's a signature on a blank sheet of paper for Jesus to fill in later. Wherever, whatever, you are the leader and I will follow. David Gooding writes, "Those who start out to follow Christ on the road to glory must be prepared to give up the idea of this world as their home. They become travelers, restlessly moving on, using life's lodging houses on the way, but with no place to settle down this side of heaven. The certainty that we have when following Jesus is our final destination. Through faith in Jesus, we have confidence that Jesus will bring us safely to heaven where we can enjoy the presence of God forever. He has promised that, and we read earlier that none of the good promises of God ever fail. But until then, we are called to a life of uncertainty. Wherever, whenever, whatever, our lives on earth are a blank sheet of paper. We have signed our name at the bottom of the page, and we have told Jesus he can write what he wants on the rest of the page. After that, he is the leader, and we follow. As David Gooding writes, everywhere along the way on our journey to heaven is simply one of life's lodging houses. We don't know the path the Lord will lead us along. We may live out all the days of our lives here in Bandon, or we may travel far from the shores of West Cork. We may go to another country with the good news about Jesus, or we may share the same good news in the same office, in the same town, for the next 30 years. Who knows? Well, Jesus knows, and we follow, wherever. Now, if we think the first response is a bit harsh, we will be shocked at the next one. When Jesus calls the next man to follow him, the man seems to suggest that he has a funeral to attend. Jesus says, Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Now, I can't imagine Judy Garland speaking that way to someone she met on the Yellow Brick Road. Obviously, Jesus was focused on his mission of proclaiming the kingdom of God, but wouldn't you expect him to have a little more compassion than this? Well, Jesus is calling this man to a life of insecurity. You see, it's unlikely that the man's father had already died. Burials took place very quickly after death. The request here is not for time to grieve, but for permission to put off following Jesus until his probably healthy father has passed away. The real issue here is about inheritance. You see, for a man to leave home and the family farm is to turn his back on what he would see as his inheritance. To follow Jesus would involve leaving that security for a life of insecurity. Now, that's stressed in some of the other accounts of those who follow Jesus. For example, Levi the tax collector, he was sitting at his tax booth when Jesus called him. And what did he do? Well, Luke records, Levi got up, left everything, and followed Jesus. He left everything to follow Jesus. Likewise, when Jesus calls Peter and Andrew to follow him, Matthew records, at once they left their fishing nets and followed him. They left the security of their jobs and they obeyed Jesus' call to a life of insecurity as followers of him. But this man, he wants to follow Jesus after he has waited around to pick up his inheritance. It's not the concern of someone who wants to stay around and care for an aging parent. The request is, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. Make no mistake, it's a question of inheritance. And this man's focus is on his earthly inheritance. First, let me go and collect what I have coming to me. And once I have that security in the bank, once I have my fallback option, then I will come and follow you. But Jesus is calling the man to a life with no fallback option. He's called to trust Jesus completely. He's called to proclaim the kingdom of God, and he cannot do that while his focus is on his own little kingdom on earth. You see, the follower of Jesus must seek an inheritance in heaven and not on earth. And this seeking must take priority over all other things. You'll remember that Jesus said, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. It's a question of priority. And this man has his priority wrong. He says, Lord, first, let me go and bury my father. With that in mind, his addressing Jesus as Lord is a little ironic. He calls Jesus Lord, and then he seeks to negotiate his own special terms and conditions for following Jesus. But Jesus will have none of it. The follower of Jesus is called to a life of insecurity on earth, confident that they have a security in heaven. The follower of Jesus proclaims the kingdom of God and seeks first his kingdom, trusting God with all of the rest. You see, no one gets to call Jesus Lord while dictating to Jesus the terms and conditions of their following. If we call Jesus Lord, we must be willing to submit to his word. Don't call Jesus Lord and speak untruthfully towards others. Don't call Jesus Lord and fail to work well for your employer. Don't call Jesus Lord and pursue a relationship which he forbids. Don't call Jesus Lord while you refuse to forgive those who have sinned against you. Don't call Jesus Lord while making selfish demands in the home. Don't call Jesus Lord while you stubbornly refuse to obey your parents. To call Jesus Lord means that you're acknowledging his right to speak into every area of your life and that you are willing to obey. This man is unwilling to let go of his earthly inheritance for a life of insecurity. That earthly inheritance is of higher value than following Jesus. And this kind of lip service is one that Jesus can do without. In the words of Hudson Taylor, missionary to China, Christ is either Lord of all, or he is not Lord at all. The final person Jesus meets on this road asks a simple request: to go back and say goodbye to their family. Once again, Jesus' response seems quite harsh. No one who puts his hand to the plough and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. Now, it's one thing to ask to stay around until your father dies and you get your inheritance. But is it really that wrong to want to say goodbye to your family before you follow Jesus? You know, the reality is that there is perhaps no pull stronger and no hindrance to following Jesus greater than that of family or close relationships. I have known many people who were this close to trusting and following Jesus, and the obstacle in their way was what their family would think, what their friends would think. The fact that following Jesus would mean the breaking of another friendship or relationship. And though they wanted to follow Jesus, they counted those relationships as of greater value. But the call to follow Christ is a call to a life of undivided service. In John Bunyan's famous book, Pilgrim's Progress, you might know that Christian is disturbed by the news that he reads in a book that the city of destruction will soon be destroyed. He shares the news with his family and his friends, who consider him to be out of his mind. They deride him for his talk of needing to escape the coming destruction. They become hardened to this message. He meets a man called Evangelist who points him towards a wicked gate. And if he goes to the wicked gate, he will find a path that will lead him to the celestial city. We read that he runs towards the wicked gate, but his family start calling him to come back. But he's convinced of the truth of what he's read in this book. He's convinced of the coming destruction. And he sticks his fingers in his ears. He keeps running, and Bunyan writes, "He looked not behind him." He did not look back. Jesus says to this man, "No one who puts his hand to the plough and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God." Maybe like me, you get those unwanted phone calls from various electricity companies or phone providers trying to convince you that you'd be so much better off if you switched to them. At the end, just when you've agreed that yes, you're going to join them, at the end, you're told, in the middle of all the other things they're required by law to tell you, that you have a 30-day cooling off period in case you discover that the offer, well, it wasn't as good as they made it out to be. But when Jesus calls us to follow, he doesn't offer a cooling off period. A period in which family or friends can convince us that we have made a monumental error in this newfound religious fanaticism, this following of Jesus. The warning to this man is to follow Jesus and to not look back. No cooling off period. Not to allow a chance for others to convince him that he is wrong, to discourage him from following Jesus. Later in Luke's gospel, he offers a warning and an example of one who looked back and suffered the consequences. He simply writes, "Remember Lot's wife." For those who don't know the story, Lot and his family had made Sodom their home. Sodom and the neighboring town of Gomorrah were renowned for their wickedness. And so God was going to destroy the two cities. Lot and his family are warned, like Christian in Pilgrim's Progress, to flee from the city of destruction. But unlike Christian, who stuck his fingers in his ears and looked not behind him, Lot's wife looked back. Something that they had been specifically told not to do. She was turned to a pillar of salt, a permanent warning to those who look back. She had fled the city, but she shared in its destruction. That's the warning of Jesus. No one who puts his hand to the plough and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of heaven. We might profess to have faith in Jesus. We might think ourselves to be a follower of Jesus. But the one who looks back is no follower of Jesus at all. And like Lot's wife, they will share in the fate of the city of destruction. So if you hear the call of Jesus to follow him, do what Christian did in Pilgrim's Progress. Stick your fingers in your ear and run to him and don't look back. Sign your name on the blank sheet of paper and hand it over to Jesus, saying, "Wherever, whatever you want, Lord." And if you are a follower of Jesus, remind yourself of those words of Hudson Taylor. Christ is either Lord of all, or he is not Lord at all. And where you have been tempted to go your own way and do your own thing, turn again to Jesus, reminding yourself that your security is in heaven, not upon earth. And don't only call him Lord, but listen to his voice and kneel in submission at his feet. Let's pray together. Father, we remind ourselves again of what we read at the beginning, that none of the good promises of the Lord ever fail. But just as you are faithful with your good promises, so you are faithful to follow through with your warnings. And so, Father, we pray that we would take these warnings seriously this morning, that we would let the weight of them rest upon our hearts and our minds. That, Father, that you would help us to keep following Jesus and not to look back. And Father, where we have been tempted to do such, we pray that you would remind us of the one whom we follow, the one who is our Savior, the one who gave himself in our place, the one who will lead us safely to our final destination. And Father, help us to make our journey through life confident that everywhere along the way is simply a lodging place on the way to our eternal home. Where we have resisted your will and your purpose, we pray that we would turn from it, confessing it, and committing ourselves to follow you. And we ask this in the name of the Lord Jesus, our Savior. Amen.